So many people on this planet, a couple of billion in fact, believe in the love of God through Jesus Christ. But whilst many know about that love, only a fraction actually experience that love day by day. Now, it strikes me that that's a complete tragedy. Imagine what this world would be like if all the people who believed in Jesus experienced the love of God every day. Just imagine. I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome to the program today as we continue with this next message in a series called All You Need Is Love. And please do stay tuned, because in just a few minutes I'll be telling you about our free daily devotional, Fresh, to help you live in the love, in the victory, in the joy that Jesus came to bring you. Now, I don't know if you remember, but last week we started talking about love, the sort of love that never fails, God's love. See, I think this is important. I mean, really important for us to wrap our hearts and our minds and our souls around God's love, because it's a startling love, a surprising love, the sort of love that we rarely find, if ever, here on this earth. It's not to say that other people don't love us. I know my wife loves me and I love her, and we've promised ourselves to one another for the rest of our lives. And there's the thing. One day, that love will end. One day, one of us is going to die. And in the meantime, we're going to love each other imperfectly, because we're human. But God's love never fails. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And with all the bumps and the bruises and the scars that we've been left with as we've travelled along that bumpy road called life, that's something you and I really need. We all have fears and insecurities. Okay, some more than others, but we all have them. But God doesn't want us to be afraid. He doesn't want us to be insecure. Have a listen to this. It comes from 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 to 19. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. I love that. God is love. And if we abide, if we dwell on fellowship with God, we'll know that love. And get this, the perfect love of God casts out all fear. So we don't have to be afraid anymore, or insecure anymore, or worried anymore. Because it turns out that love, perfect love, God's love, is like a healing balm. God's love, when we live in it, dwell in it, abide in it, sets us free from fear. You know, that sounds fantastic. And if it's true, well, we all need that. So here's the plan. Let's spend a bit of time exploring this healing love of God today, and in fact, over the next few days on the program, because this love thing is so important. Knowing that we're safe and secure in God's love is just so important, isn't it? Well, it is, because healing and restoration is precisely the reason that Jesus came to this earth. The very first time he got up to speak in a synagogue, or at least it's the first time following his launch into his public ministry, he chose to read from what we now call the Old Testament, from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And this is how it all went down. Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 16. When Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." It's his whole pitch, his whole reason that he came, and he starts off with the poor. Can I tell you, the poor were despised and marginalized and ostracized. The poor weren't by and large the ones filling the synagogue that day in Nazareth. But he came to bring them, the poor, good news, release to the captives, the people in prison, the people no one bothers with, and sight for the blind. They were beggars out there on the street. No welfare checks in the mail for them. They were the lowest of the low. Freedom for them. The very first thing that Jesus gets up and says about himself is he came to bring healing to the least of the least. And isn't that often how we feel? Sure, there may well be poor people, imprisoned people, blind people, oppressed people listening to this message today. In fact, I know without a shadow of any doubt that there are. And their ears are listening keenly to what's going on here. But what about to those who don't quite fall into those categories? What about those who are comfortable middle-class suburbanites commuting on the tube in London or driving home in Chicago or resting on a beach somewhere in the Pacific? What about those people? And there are plenty of those people listening today too. Well, that passage from the book of Isaiah that Jesus read there actually in full has a lot more to say. It talks of binding up the brokenhearted, proclaiming liberty to the captives, releasing prisoners, comforting all those who mourn, to give us a garland, a wreath of flowers instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit, to repair the devastations of the past. Now, why wasn't it quoted in full by Luke? Because those guys lived in an oral culture, and so he quoted what he remembered, but you can be sure that if Jesus was reading from chapter 61 of the book of Isaiah, then this is what he read, this is what he said about himself, all those things. He came to bring healing and restoration to you and to me. Just let that sink in. Is any of us brokenhearted today? Do any of us have devastations of the past that need rebuilding? Is anyone today mourning? Does anyone need the oil of gladness? Does anyone need a mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit? Well, I think we've pretty much covered everybody there with that list. Does that mean that Jesus only came for the losers? No. That's what the skeptics will tell you. The point is, we all have things happen to us along the way that require healing. Things that sometimes are our own fault, but other times they're not our fault, and we're left with wounds and scars. This is universal, rich and poor, black and white. Jesus came for all of us. He came to bind up the broken hearts among us. Can I tell you, as I look back to a devastating time in my life when I was brokenhearted, the only person who could make any difference in that place was Jesus. Nothing anybody else said or did had any impact whatsoever. And that's how often it is. The only thing that can make an impact, the only thing that can heal us is the healing balm of God's own love. Totally accepting, totally loving, totally faithful, totally powerful beyond measure to drive out darkness and fear. And you know the sad thing? So many people don't believe that this love is actually for them. It's as though it's for others, but surely not for me. Because I must come somewhere low down on the pecking order. I mean, surely God would go to the super spiritual people before me. Surely God wouldn't have time to get as far down the list as me. Which is why when Jesus stood up for that very first time in his public ministry, he read from the book of Isaiah and declared for all the world that he came for the poor, the oppressed, the captives, the blind, the brokenhearted, the least of the least. What he was saying is that he came for everyone, including you and me. And friend, that's why over the next couple of days, we're going to meet two of these people, a leper and a woman with a terrible sickness. Both people who laid hold of Jesus' healing love. Both people who should have been so far down the pecking order that Jesus wouldn't even have noticed them. Because I believe that Jesus, through his word, wants his love to become real in your life and mine. Before we go, I'd like to tell you about our free daily devotional that I'd love to send you to help you draw even closer to God. It's called Fresh, a powerful scripture verse together with some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement delivered right to the inbox on your smartphone, tablet, or computer each and every day. You can read it, listen to the audio, or even watch the daily video. It's completely up to you. It's God's word, fresh for you each day, and it's completely free. To get instant access, just stop by our mobile-friendly website, christianityworks.com. You'll see the Fresh e-devotional sign-up right there at the top of the homepage. And when you do subscribe, you'll instantly receive a free copy of the e-book, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? That web address again, in case you missed it, is christianityworks.com. So go ahead, sign up to receive Fresh, and may your heart be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through his word. I'm Bernie Diamond. I'll catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.